Hello, and welcome to the Space Kid Podcast, where we are bringing the galaxy to your doorstep. And today, we'll be talking about the James Webb Space Telescope, formerly known as JWST, and the Hubble Space Telescope, and the discoveries they have brought to us. Today, I'm recording with my co-host, Aditi Goenka.
Hi!
She is my aunt, and she's visiting from New York. Would you like to tell them a bit about yourself?
Sure. As Ishan said, I'm Ishan's aunt, or Masi, and I live in New York City, and I work for Pfizer.
All right, that is amazing. Well, let's jump right in. First, let's talk about the namesakes of these telescopes. Edwin Powell Hubble was born in Missouri in 1889 and developed a passion for astronomy at 8 years old when he received his first telescope. James Webb was a NASA administrator who ran the space agency from February 1961 to October 1968. He was a firm believer that the agency should focus on not only human spaceflight, but also the science of all space, including astronomy.
So Ishan, what makes these two men so special? What have they done for space exploration that we should all thank them for?
Well, first of all, I do want to outline that it wasn't all just for human exploration. It's also for our knowledge of the cosmos and astronomy, not only space. So, Edwin Powell Hubble, or Hubble, had two amazing discoveries. His first being the distance to pulsating stars, which helped verify that the universe, at the time, people thought that the universe was just our galaxy. And so his discovery, which stated that pulsating stars are in galaxies outside our own, helped prove that the universe is actually consists of multiple and billions and trillions of galaxies. He also, helped him create his scale and arrange the galaxies by their shape. As we may know, Milky Way is a spiral galaxy, and he's created barred spirals and ellipticals, and that is one of the most commonly used ways of organizing galaxies by shape. His greatest achievement was to find that the light we receive from galaxies is redder the further away they are. And that led him to discover that the further away a galaxy, the faster it is going away from Earth. So that was probably his greatest achievement in astronomy, which came in 1929.
Incredible.
James Webb was an administrator during, right before the time when people launched to the moon, during the time when Kennedy proposed that. And the reason why they named the telescope after him is because he ran the agency in a way that no other administrator had, by making it clear that he wanted to have multiple aims with the agency, not just human exploration, but also astronomy and a lot of the work that people like Hubble were doing. James Webb helped change people's minds and helped convince Congress to fund that. So he had a belief that NASA could focus on both things, not only human exploration. So that's why they named the telescope after him. It was a very fitting name.
Interesting. So Ishan, was he there to see the first moon landing?
As an administrator, no. But he retired a few months before the first moon landing.
Interesting.
So those are why these two figures are so important. And that's why they were named after, these telescopes were named after these two men.
So Ishan, can you share what made Hubble telescope at the time so incredible and so unique?
It was the first of its kind in orbit. And it was really the only of its kind until now that had such capabilities. And that is why it's had so many discoveries, and it was able to see farther than the others.
Incredible. And what's going to happen to the Hubble telescope now?
And so astronomers will still use Hubble, but it is in its dying days. Hubble is, some of the equipment on it is not going to last much longer. So they will likely retire it, and its orbit will eventually decay, and it will come back crashing back to Earth.
And did Hubble telescope last longer than they expected it to?
I actually don't know that.
Interesting. That would be something fun to find out.
Yep.
So now tell us more about the James Webb telescope. What makes it different than the Hubble telescope?
James Webb has a mirror that is 3 times as big as Hubble's mirror. And it is also the first of its kind to have a sun shield, which protects it from the light of the sun. And the reason why it needs this is because it is in a special orbit called L2 that is 1,000,000 miles away from Earth, roughly. So basically, if you have the sun and you have the Earth, there is James Webb behind the Earth. So it's farther from the sun than Earth, and it's just kind of going in vertical circles as it stays at the same point where Earth is, the same angle, but it's farther from the sun, and its latitude is going up and down, up and down. So it has a different orbit, and that puts it out of Earth's shadow, and therefore it's able to see a lot farther. And then also, it needs the sun shield, so because it is an infrared telescope, and any of the light from the sun will mess up that course of action with the infrared light, because it is other light interfering with the mirrors. So it has a giant sun shield that's roughly 3 tennis courts long.
Wow.
And it uses that to deflect the sun. And another interesting fact is the temperature on the side of the sun shield is roughly 180 degrees. Oh, and on the goodness. Other side, it is roughly negative 170 degrees.
And it's not going to shatter, even though one side is so hot and one side is so cold.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
That brings me to another point on why the sun shield is so pivotal. It is in 5 layers, which also helps it not shatter because the heat is distributed and the process is laid out. But all of James Webb's instruments, the telescope's instruments, they don't have a cooling system other than the radiator. So basically, the sun shield helps keep all of the instruments in good working order. Without it, it is one of the most important mechanisms and probably the most complex, and we'll go into that later. But yeah, the sun shield plays a pivotal role. One bad thing is that the sun shield gives it more mass area for the solar winds to push it around, so they do have to bring out a little flap to help stabilize it. But other than that, the sun shield, yeah, that's its function.
That's incredible. So how many days is it going to take from beginning to end until the James Webb telescope is fully deployed?
So it's going to take 30 days for James Webb to fully deploy into orbit and also itself, which we'll go into later. But it'll also take a few months on top of that for it to get into working order before it'll start doing that science. So 30 days, and that's how much it'll take to get to L2. And it started at roughly a speed of, 32 miles per second. Now it's roughly at 0.5 mile per second. But basically, James Webb is so big that they have to fold it up like origami for it to fit into a payload fairing, which is on top of the rocket. And that's when they're using one of the biggest payload fairings available on the European Space Agency's rocket, because it's so big. And then it folded up, it still takes up most of the space, of course. But they have this unique course of action where there are 100 maneuvers that they have to get right to help make it unfold and fully deploy itself. And if anything goes wrong, humans can't go that far as of now. And by the time they're able to reliably go that far, have enough resources, and calculate a trajectory where Webb comes on intersects and they're able to intersect with Webb and fix it, by that time, the cost is way too high. And, you know, this humanity's got other things to focus on. You know, Webb has a successor that's going to be so much bigger. And so by then, likely, people will be focused on that more than Webb.
Wow. So, Ishan, you said that the European Space Agency payload was used. How many other organizations or countries are involved in the James Webb telescope?
So there were three total organizations. NASA, the National Organization for Aeronautics and Astronomics, something like that. I can never remember the exact acronym. But there was NASA, which is America. There's the Canadian Space Agency. And there's the European Space Agency, or the ESA.
Hmm. I think NASA is National Aeronautics and Space Agency.
Yeah.
It always confuses
you
me,
know
too.
That? Wow.
So what else can you tell me that is something that most people would not even know about James Webb, unless you were a super fan?
James Webb, well, first of all, the James Webb Space Telescope, each of its mirrors have to be aligned perfectly for it to work. And that's actually a separate process with motors behind each of the mirrors that the telescope controllers in Baltimore will do. And they are on a very on edge right now. And congrats to all of you in Baltimore.
Congratulations.
Yep.
So how many people roughly do you think are working on the James Webb Telescope at any given time?
So I want to say maybe 100 tops in Baltimore and thousands of people creating the telescope. People spent their whole careers on this telescope. You know, it was years behind schedule, millions of dollars over budget. And
wow.
And people spent their whole career on this. And the thing is, another interesting fact about it is Hubble is going to use a bunch of galaxies to see another galaxy.
How does that work?
So Einstein's relativity theory states that gravity can bend light.
Mm-hmm.
And clusters of galaxies house a ton of gravity. And that can help bend the faint light from other galaxies that are farther away towards the James Webb Space Telescope. Because if you think about it, the light rays from the galaxy are slowly expanding and slowly expanding, and they become less dense and less dense until finally it's just really, really thin, and you can barely detect it. But when we're talking about these galaxies, they bend the light the other way. That way it's contracting, 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 and it can reach Webb in a much more strong way.
Wow. So how many millions of miles out would James Webb Telescope be able to see?
Light years.
How many
so far light years? That it takes the light, we're just now reaching the light. And that's how they seeing things so far away that the light from the beginning of the universe that it emits is just now reaching us. And that's how Hubble is able to see into the beginning of the universe.
And James Webb Telescope will do the same.
Yeah, but on a larger scale.
Incredible.
It can also see farther than Hubble, partly because of the orbital arrangements and because of the bigger mirror. It's also bigger than Hubble.
So I also read somewhere, Ishan, that the mirror or some part of Hubble is covered in gold. Is that true?
James Webb.
Why is it covered in gold?
I do not know the answer to that question. But I will definitely try to do some research, and some of the stuff that I don't know, I will try to put in towards the end of this podcast.
Sounds like a great plan.
But definitely, James Webb's golden mirrors may just be a feature to make it more iconic. But it is definitely an iconic feature of James Webb, the gold mirrors. I will have to figure out if they did that for a certain reason.
Yeah, I wonder if gold as a metal has some special property that makes the telescope work better.
Especially work with infrared.
Yeah.
So let's talk a bit more about the people who the telescopes were named after again and just go a bit more in depth. I'm going to do a brief overview. So as I said in the beginning, Edwin Powell Hubble was born in Missouri, 1889. He had a passion for astronomy at 8 years old when he received his first telescope. And while working on his doctorate, a life-changing offer from George Ellery Hale for the Mount Wilson Observatory in California to work there came. But it was at a bad time because Hubble had enlisted in the military as World War I had just started. Mm. But when he came back, still in his uniform, he decided to go work. And so he went straight to California and he started his work there. In 1923, his first discovery with pulsating stars came. And he started the Hubble scale, which arranged the galaxies. And is in 1929, his greatest achievement with the galaxies traveling farther away came. But that's not where his career ended. He also helped, through his greatest achievement, prove that the Big Bang was a viable theory because of the universe expansion with the galaxies.
Interesting.
And then after that, he spent the rest of his career fighting for astronomy to be eligible as a feat of physics worthy for the Nobel Prize. So basically, he was fighting to say that if you achieve something great in astronomy, you should be able to achieve a Nobel Prize for it. In the name of physics. And that also helps exemplify James Webb, saying NASA is not only a program for space exploration and human exploration, but also for astronomy. It's supposed to be space, not just space exploration. So he died a few months earlier than when his dream came true in 1953, unfortunately. So in 1953, his campaign for having physics as a Nobel honor finally succeeded, but unfortunately, he died a few months earlier. And just think about what he would have been able to do if he had lived a few months after that. He probably would have gotten the prize that he helped to create.
Is this Hubble?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That is sad, but at least he managed to make sure that astronomy became part of the Nobel Prize category.
And the Hubble telescope was made by the European Space Agency and the NASA. So they've had kind of almost a history now on working together on telescopes, but now with the Canadian Space Agency. So James Webb is also believed to do perhaps more than any other government official. And people thought it was only fitting, therefore, to have the next telescope named after him. He believed that the program was more than just a political race. He believed that NASA could find a balance between human spaceflight and science, like I've said before. He retired a few months before the moon landing. So he really has helped ran this agency into something bigger, and he helped balance its priorities and shape out its priorities, and he's helped shape a lot of what the universe is like today.
So a lot of what we know about the universe and galaxies is because of James Webb's vision of supporting what Hubble started, which is not just space for human exploration, but space for the science of astronomy and space itself.
Mm-hmm. And also that leads into the categories of astrophysics and mechanical engineering and all of those subcategories in astronomy that I'm sure people are, their jobs are because of these two people. And they've had such an impact on others people's lives, not only just space exploration, but a far-reaching impact on where we are now and where, you know, people's jobs, people's passions, what people are like.
Yeah, and I think so many inventions that were done in space, not just for space exploration.
Exploration.
Sometimes I have trouble with that word. But also just for science, have helped make humankind better and our world better. I think recently, in fact, your mom was telling me that Tide, the company that makes detergent, is doing a collaboration with NASA. They want to understand how can we do laundry, a very simple, basic human task, with the least amount of resources in water and detergent, and create the most perfect biodegradable detergent that can be potentially reused, because we know in space everything has to be reused, and there's almost, we have tried to have zero waste. And they want to bring that science from space back to Earth to help solve for some of the climate challenges that we're facing on Earth. So absolutely, I love the fact that Hubble and James Webb have given us this almost blueprint of thinking of space as more than just for exploration, but for the science itself.
Yeah, that is an amazing story, and that is just a testament to what we can do and how much a little impact it may seem at first, how far it can go. And in matter of fact, I just saw my computer and received a notification that James Webb is unfolding its sun shield. It started that process. So good luck to all of y'all again. And I'm so happy that everything's gone successfully so far. So,
yay!
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's a great Christmas present, by the way, to see the launch. And it was just beautiful. And so these two figures have helped make astronomy in space the beautiful thing it is right now, and helped in so many other areas of not only science, but also being human and helping this Earth and all of that. And so their impact is far-reaching, and it is very fitting that they have their own telescopes that are now getting ready and doing science that so helps further our knowledge in space and astrodynamics and astrophysics and all of those. So that draws to our close the sixth episode of the Space Kid Podcast. We are so glad you came along, and it has been amazing recording this, right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Ishan.
It's been great. So right now, before it ends, I am going to insert a quick recording of the stuff that I didn't cover, like the gold-plated telescopes. And with this, after this, hope y'all have a great one, and Space Kid out. Bye. So James Webb's mirrors are coated in a microscopic layer, microscopically thin layer of gold, I should say, which optimizes them for reflecting infrared light, the primary wavelength that the infrared telescope will observe. Also, a quick stat check. Hubble was not the first telescope in space, but it's one of the largest and most versatile, re-owned as a vital research tool and a public relations boon for astronomy. So also, Hubble has been operating for a bit longer than initially expected, and particularly because of five repair missions by astronauts that originally were designed to keep the observatory's critical systems up and running, but have helped it come along and run perfectly for years to come. So that's the end of the final stats and facts that I forgot to mention in the video, or I didn't mention. And thank you all again for watching. See ya.